morning, Preston Wood. Happy New Year. How are we doing this morning? Good? Warmer in here than it is out there. Let's stand and worship together. We are so glad you're here. What better way to start off our new year than in the house of the Lord? He's here to meet us this morning. Let's sing. We worship.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory.
There's joy.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out.
Up a shout this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord. It's why we gather. What a great way to start our new year. By being in the house of the Lord. We are in His presence. He is here with us this morning. Let's worship Him as we welcome Him in.
Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you.
Yeah.
We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you.
Yeah.
We are here for you.
our hearts are open.
To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy. Only you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down.
Let us shout.
Good morning, church family, and happy new year. We're excited because we have one following Christ in baptism this morning. This is Brooklyn Ellis. Brooklyn, are you following Christ in baptism this morning because you have trusted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, because of your public profession of faith, it is my joy to baptize you, my little sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Seated, and I just give a hearty welcome to you this morning and a yes, sir, along with Brooklyn this morning. Look, we came this morning, we welcome him with praise as we sang a moment ago, and I just think about sitting here in these pews alongside of you. We want to be good sons and daughters, don't we, of our Heavenly Father? We want to be good sons and good daughters that honor him. So we just say, yes, sir, along with Brooklyn. Yes, sir, Heavenly Father, we love you, and we want to worship you. Let's say that together one time on three. We're just going to say, yes, sir, just like Brooklyn did. Man, that moved me on three. You ready? One, two, three. Yes, sir. Good sons and good daughters this morning at Prestonwood Baptist Church, honoring our Heavenly Father. Well, welcome to worship. I hope you're as excited as I am and as Brooklyn is up there in that baptistry, demonstrating her faith, following the Lord in baptism, welcoming all of you online as well that are watching us at home. We know we have many of our church family and guests out there all over the world. watching online. So we're thankful that you made it a priority to get up and worship with us this morning. If you're here in this room and it's your first time, or maybe you just want to find out a little bit more about our ministries, go to Guest Central at the close of our service right outside in the main atrium. Let us know how we can pray for you if there's anything going on in your life. And we also have a gift for you there at Guest Central. Hopefully, you got a pressing with today on your way in. Many of our activities going on in the church right there at Prestonwood today, but just a couple of highlights that I want to make you aware of quickly. Our World Missions offering will continue throughout this month of January, so be praying as an individual and as a family about how you can partner with us as a church to fulfill the Great Commission. We want to reach the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? We want to reach the nation. So partner with us. Pray about how you can give and be a part of our World Missions offering still going on all through this month. And before we move any further, just about reaching the nations and fulfilling the Great Commission, can we just give the Lord a hand clap again for those 1,022 decisions through GOC, the gift of Christmas? I mean, just look at that graphic right there. All those lights. Decisions that were being made, some for the first time, some rededicating again and being reminded of just the priority that God longs to be in all of our life. An incredible, incredible outreach of our church. Next week, our Bible study, our life group Bible studies will resume again next week, and our pastor will be back next week as well. But that's our place in those life group Bible studies where we take this big worship center and we break it down. And you begin to build community and you have opportunity to serve and do life together. So if you're not in one, let me just encourage and challenge you to go check out a life group Bible study. We have them every Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11. Those will be getting back on track next week. And as I mentioned, Pastor Graham will be back next week. But this morning, we have an incredible opportunity to hear from our own associate pastor, Scott Turner. Scott Turner is a man of God. He walks with God. Yeah, give him a hand. He's an incredible husband, a godly father. He played in the NFL for 10 years. He served our state in the legislature as a congressman. And you have this morning, you and I, we are in for a treat. He's a dynamic communicator, and he's going to bless us in an incredible way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll continue in our worship. Father God, we love you. And as we mentioned a moment ago, we just want to be faithful sons and faithful daughters that glorify you, God, in every area of our lives. And so we give you this worship this morning, as the psalmist said, Father, in Psalm 63, it's our soul thirsts for you, our bodies long for you, and a dry and a weary land where there is no water. Oh God, you are my God. Help us to seek you earnestly in this moment and every day throughout this new and coming year. We give you praise for your faithfulness in 2021, and as we turn the calendar toward this new year, Father, we look forward with eyes of faith, joyful, expectant of what you're going to do in our lives and in the life of this wonderful church we call Prestonwood. We call it home, and we rejoice, God, that you are here this morning. We welcomed you in praise, and we pray, God, that you would continue to be exalted and glorified through our worship, and we give it to you in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen.
Would you join us in standing as we continue to worship, as we leave 2021 behind and step into 2022. This old hymn has been burning in our hearts as to what our foundation is and what it's built on. And we come in with all of these New Year's resolutions, but never to forget that Christ is the building block. I love this song. Let's sing this together. Will you join me? Sing My Hope.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name.
Lift him up this morning on Christ. Let's sing.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Let's sing that again, on Christ.
How's everybody? Well, Happy New Year. Let's give God praise for another year. Amen. Well, my name is Scott Turner, and I serve as associate pastor here at Prestonwood. And I, too, welcome you to Prestonwood. Those that are here in person and those that are worshiping with us online, welcome to Prestonwood. And I'm so glad that God gave us this opportunity to not only see a new year, but to see a new day. Amen. I thank God for it. Last night when I was meditating on this message, the scripture in Psalm 122, verse 1 came to me and said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad this morning? I don't want to be anywhere else but right here with you this morning. Great anticipation for the days and the months ahead. Now, I know that many of you here this morning, you've probably already wrote out or written out your New Year's resolutions. And if you hadn't, maybe you're thinking about them. Maybe you're contemplating and praying, Lord, what do you have me to achieve in 2022, this upcoming year? Resolution, it simply means this: a firm decision to do or not to do something. A firm decision to do or not to do something. In other words, have a made-up mind. That's what a resolution is. I was doing some research a little bit, and I found out the New Year's resolutions have been around for centuries. And the practice of having New Year's resolutions. I read one article said even the Babylonians had resolutions that they would return those items that they borrowed from their brother. New Year's resolutions have been around for a long time. As such, the practice of breaking those same resolutions. I'm just going to speak what's true. Some of the topics, more common topics, including others, but health, love, career, finance, education, faith. These are some of the more common topics of New Year's resolutions. And then I was reading some, you know, we all have had New Year's resolutions and probably have heard these like exercise more or lose weight or get married, get organized, spend less money and save more money, get out of debt. Here's one: quit smoking, quit drinking, spend more time with your family, get more sleep. How about that one? How many love resting in God? Amen. Get more sleep. Here's one. It's a challenging one for me. Read more. They say read a book a month, and that'll help you. I always like to challenge myself with that one. Read as much as you can. To read a book a month. Here's some funny ones that I got a kick out of. I will lose weight by hiding it somewhere you'll never find. I will buy clothes to account for next year's holidays. My New Year's resolution is not to hang with people who ask me about my New Year's resolution. I will do this year what I said I was going to do last year. How about that? Here's some practical ones. Go a whole day without checking your email. Uh-oh. Talk less, listen more. God gave us two ears and one mouth. Go to the dentist when you're supposed to. Make your bed every morning. A Navy SEAL said when you make your bed every morning, you've accomplished something at the first start of the day. Turn off your phone one night a week. It got quiet on that one. Better yet, take a daily break from technology. Don't buy things that you don't need. Work out to be healthy, not just to be thinner. Keep a gratitude journal. These sound more like good life principles to me than resolutions or goals. But it brings me to the focus and the context of our message this morning, of having a godly ambition. I want to speak to you this morning about having a godly ambition. Ambition is a strong desire to do or to achieve something, typically requiring determination and hard work. Ambition, a strong desire to achieve something. Resolution said to do or not to do. Ambition says to do or to achieve something, typically requiring determination and hard work. From whom the ambition is coming. Are you with me? As we look at our text in Ephesians 3, the Apostle Paul's ambition for the believers in Ephesus, in particularly the Gentile believers, his desire was for them to know their rightful place in the family of God and to know of their inheritance in Christ. That was his ambition, to know their rightful place in the family of God and to know that their inheritance was in Christ. And I too, church, this morning, I have an ambition. I have a strong desire for you, the body of Christ, those that are here with me in person and those that are watching online. My desire is for you to know Jesus in a greater manner than you ever have before, to experience the love of God, to walk in the power of God, to experience the presence of God like never before. And for those of you here this morning or watching online, if you don't know Jesus for yourself, I too have a godly ambition for you and a strong desire for you to come to the true knowledge of Jesus Christ, to know him like I know him, to receive him and the truth of who he is and accept him as your Lord and your Savior today. Church, these are my New Year's resolutions and my godly ambitions. That is my desire for you this morning. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. And for background purposes, which I think is very important as we look at this epistle from Paul, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, and most of the recipients of this letter and the readers of this letter were Gentile Christians or Gentile believers. In the first two chapters of Ephesians, it is pretty heavy with theological explanations from the Apostle Paul, where in his writings, he was explaining our spiritual blessings in Christ. In chapter 1, verse 7, it says this, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." In other words, we have deliverance through the blood of Jesus for the sins that we commit according to the riches of God's grace. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. And by unmerited favor, unwarranted favor, unearned, undeserved favor, you have been saved through faith." So Ephesians, Gentile believers, it is not your own doing, church of God. It is not your own doing. It is by grace through faith that you and I have been saved. Chapter 2, verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So you who've been excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, you who are called the uncircumcised by those who said they are circumcised, now you have been brought near by the blood of Jesus." Y'all see how he's encouraging Ephesian Christians? In verse 18, it says, "For through Christ we both have access in one spirit to the Father." So now you have access to the Father. So then, in verse 19, "You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." No longer are you aliens. No longer are you separated, but now you are part of the family of God. Here in Ephesians 3, as we get into chapter 3, the Apostle Paul states that he is a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of the Gentiles, and that God has given him a stewardship of God's grace for them. God has given him a responsibility to preach the gospel and to make known the mystery that was made known to him by the Holy Spirit of God. In Ephesians 3:6, it says, "The Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." So now here we are, the Gentiles are now fellow heirs of the promises of Christ and partakers of those promises through the gospel. Ephesians 3:8, Paul said he's an appointed minister of the gospel, but he's also the least of all the saints. But that God's grace was given to him to bring to light to everyone, both Jew and Gentile, what is the plan of the mystery that was hidden for ages that God has now revealed through his holy apostle and prophets. Paul tells them, because of their faith in Jesus, they too now have boldness and access with confidence to God our Father. Are you with me? We too, by the blood of the Lamb and by our faith in him, we have access and confidence to approach the throne of God. And he says, don't lose heart. Now look at verse 14. The Apostle Paul's prayer for spiritual strength for the believers. He's praying for spiritual strength for the believers. So he shifts from a theological explanation to now speaking and writing to them with the heart of a shepherd, with the heart of a pastor, with tenderness and comparison and compassion. And he goes to them in Ephesians 3, starting in verse 14. And he says this, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. For this reason, in verse 14, what is that reason? Those things that he had explained that we just went over in the chapters prior to this verse. For this reason, he says, I bow my knees before the Father in humble submission. The Apostle Paul fell to his knees before Almighty God. God, he said, is his sovereign king. He humbled himself before him. The God who had been that gave him grace for the assignment to preach the gospel. He said, I fell to my knees as I read this and I studied this. As we consider this text together, let it serve as a reminder to us and a challenge for us that as we come into 2022, into this new year, that no matter what your goals are, no matter what your ambitions are, no matter what your aspirations are, you and I both must start out on our knees before God in humble submission and reverence for him. Is everybody with me? Start out on your knees before the Father. And if you say, well, Pastor Scott, I can't get on my knees. Well, it's a matter of your heart. Submit yourself unto him. Humble yourself unto him and say, Lord, here I am. This day is yours. This year is yours. This hour is yours. I humble myself before you because you are Almighty God. Verse 15, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. And I wanted to bring this up because this is important, as all scripture is important. The Apostle Paul said, from whom every family derives its name. It's the responsibility and the privilege of the Creator to name the offspring. In human families, it's the mother or the father who gives us our name most of the time. And this is extremely important for the identity of the child. See, our name not only tells us who we are, but it ties us to the one and connects us to the one who gave us our name. God our Father, he is the supreme ruler. He's the ultimate creator of all mankind, as we know. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? Therefore, God created, according to the scripture, all the families, those who remain on earth and those who have died and gone into heaven. Being named by our Father in heaven gives us our identity as children and people of God, and it also ties us to him. Now, for clarity's sake, although all the families on earth and in heaven derive their name from him, it does not mean that we are all called the children of God. John 1:12 says that those who receive him earn the right to be called the children of God. So for believers, it is so important that we know exactly who we are in him. Amen? I think oftentimes we say, yes, I'm a Christian, but you have no idea who you are in God. You call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, but you really don't know your identity in the sovereign King of Kings. Are y'all with me? I don't want to step on your toes, but I want to reveal the truth. Oftentimes, Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, live powerlessly because we don't know who we are in Jesus. It's important that we know who we are in him because he named us and we're connected to him. For the last 25 years, I'm going to bring you into my personal devotion time. For the last 25 years, I've had this sheet right here, these sheets. I call them my confession sheets. My son Solomon calls them power scriptures. And during my devotion time, I get here, it says, I am. This is not self-help. This is scripture. It says this, who am I? I am a child of God. I am redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I am forgiven. I am justified. I am sanctified. I am a new creature. I'm a partaker of his divine nature. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm delivered from the power of darkness. I do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm healed by his stripes. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings. I'm exercising my authority over the enemy. I'm not moved by what I see because what I see is going to change. Are y'all with me? Do you know who you are? In Jesus. Amen. That's a baby from the mouth of babes. You're the head and not the tail. Above only and not beneath. I'm so fired up, I don't even know if I can preach the rest of this message. But that's what the word of God does. Amen. Why don't we spend time, matter of fact, you know what? We just all got a New Year's resolution, Pastor. We're going to memorize the scriptures that tell us who we are in Jesus. Now look, that takes time. It actually takes effort. You got to get in your word. Sit before God. But why not? What better else is there to do than to get the word of God down in your spirit? And know who you are in him. Amen. All right, we got to move. Verse 16. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. The apostle Paul here is saying, he's praying for God to strengthen the Ephesians with power from the Holy Spirit in their inner man. Now y'all walk with me. He is praying that God would strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit in your inner man. This power that the Apostle Paul is speaking of is dunamis power, the Greek word that we derive our English word, dynamite power. That's the kind of power that he's talking of here. That is the power that, as I mentioned earlier, that I'm praying for you to have in Christ Jesus. The power to overcome sin and temptation. The power to live above reproach in all situations. The power to accomplish those things that God has given you to achieve in the days ahead. The things that God has put before you and on your heart. The power to overcome setbacks, to overcome roadblocks, to overcome hurdles. The power to press through, to live victoriously in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you are more than a conqueror. And the Apostle Paul and your pastors are praying that you will have power in your inner man. Are y'all with me? Dynamite power. To live above reproach. To be a light in the midst of darkness. To say yes to God and no to the enemy. The power to overcome any hurdle that comes before you. The power to bow the knee in humble submission to Jesus Christ. Dunamis dynamite Holy Ghost power for the believers like you and I. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you believe that this morning? The only way to live and experience this power is by being in right relationship with God. Make no mistake about it. This is for believers. The righteousness of God, those that are in right standing with God the Father, by spending time with Him in His Word, by humbling yourself before Him, by staying in an attitude of prayer. You live in this power by fellowship with other believers. This power cannot be conjured up or manufactured in a secular sense. This comes only by pouring the Word of God down in the well of your spirit and staying in constant attitude of prayer, thanksgiving, and worship. This comes by fellowshipping with other followers of Christ, being discipled in the Christian faith, laying your life down for your brothers and your sisters. This is how we live in the power of God. Do you follow me this morning? How many want to live in this power? Amen. Paul said that this power may be granted to them in accordance to the riches of God's glory. In other words, Paul was praying that God will pour out his infinite, limitless blessings on the Ephesian believers. And church, this morning, I pray the same for you. That God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that you don't have room enough to receive. That He would open up the limitless, infinite blessing and pour them on you as you seek Him with all of your heart. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, dwell in our hearts. This is a resting place, a home for Christ. See, your heart and my heart is the very core of our being, both physically and spiritually. Our heart is what makes us who we are, our character, our intellect, our personality, our convictions. And Christ wants to make His dwelling place in your heart. The question is, and I was asking myself this, and now I ask you, is your heart open? Is your heart ready to receive Jesus, that He may make His dwelling place in your heart? Are you prepared? Is your heart ready? See, Jesus, though He wants to have a dwelling place in our heart, He will not force His way. According to verse 17, the key to this, to unlocking your heart and mind, is faith in Jesus. How's your faith? Are you poised to go into the new year? Are you ready to go in this next season of your life with a strong faith and confidence in God? Or are you doubtful? Are you wavering this morning in your faith? Are you fearful? Not sure how to handle this next chapter? I want to encourage you, take time to sit before God. Get alone with Him. Get out of the business of life. Cut out all the chatter of life. Get before God Almighty. He desires to spend time with you. Seek God for His wisdom. Seek God for His clarity. Seek Him for His guidance and gain a godly confidence, not a self-confidence, but a godly confidence and courage to increase your faith no matter what took place last year. I'm not one that likes to talk about the past a lot. We learn from history. We learn from the past, the good lessons, the bad lessons. But whatever happened last year, And we know it was tough. Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14 says this, and this is the Apostle Paul. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. We can be resolute, church. We can be firm in our decision to trust God. And to not let what happened last year, what happened this morning, what happened yesterday to stop us or to keep us from laying hold of what God has for you today and all this year, Lord willing. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says what? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Have confidence in Christ. Be resolute. Have a made up mind. Have a godly ambition that whatever it is, I trust God, period. What do they say? Drop the mic. But you got to have a made up mind. Being rooted and grounded in love in verse 17, this is the love of Christ that God, that Christ has for us. This love that he's speaking of is not the love of the world. The love of the world is temporary, it's fleeting, it's artificial, and it leaves you grasping for more. I ain't gonna get no help on that. The love of the world is fleeting, it's artificial, it's temporary, and it leaves you grasping for more. Can I get an amen from anybody? That's not the love that Paul is talking about here. He's talking about agape love, the unconditional love of the Father. The type of love that's interested in giving rather than receiving. And once you and I are rooted and grounded in this agape love, now we know the strength that he's talking about in verse 18. The strength to comprehend or to understand. The idea here is Paul is saying to reach across the finish line and gain the prize. He's praying that God would strengthen the Ephesian believers. I'm praying that God would strengthen us and enable us to reach and to grab the prize. Why? To live victoriously. I stated earlier in the message that my prayer for you this morning is to know Jesus in a greater manner. If you came to me and said, Pastor Scott, here are my top 10 resolutions for 2022. I'm going to listen intently to you and pray for you that you can achieve the things that God has set before you. And with that, in addition to that, my prayer is that you know him through that in a greater manner like never before. Why? Because when your desire is to know Jesus like you never have before, it allows us to have a laser focus. It causes us to take a deeper look inside, to be honest with ourselves and say, man, when my desire is to know Jesus for myself, I am stronger. I have a greater relationship with him. All the goals that you set in your life that come from God are good. But when you know Jesus in a stronger and a greater manner, some of those goals that you set for yourself no longer become that important. But instead, he will give you goals that are from him, his will, his desire for you, and that's what I want. How about you? Amen. To know him in this manner, to walk with him in this manner, to have a closer relationship with him than ever before in my life, to live victoriously, and as the Bible says, with all the saints. I love this part of the scripture. He said, with all the saints. When we come to faith in Christ, we join an army of believers. Those saints that are still with us alive today. Those who have gone before us. Those saints that are nearby and those that are far off in lands across the world. We all join together. No matter our location, no matter the color of our skin, no matter the culture of our land, we are linked arm in arm with all the saints, the faithful men and women that have served God, that do serve him from generation to generation. Our mothers that have gone before us that love Jesus, our grandmothers, our fathers, our grandfathers, Paul and Peter and Luther and Calvin, all the saints together. Why? Because a common bond is between us. It's our faith in Jesus Christ. Why am I explaining this and why am I on this? Because you are not alone. It is with all the saints, the army of the living God, that we comprehend the breadth and the length and the height and the depth the immeasurable, endless, limitless, unlimited quantity and capacity of Almighty God. That's the God we serve, the true living God. In verse 19, Paul prays that they would know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge and be filled with the fullness of God. Y'all, this is a love that supersedes what we may know. This supersedes head knowledge. The head knowledge that we pretend that we have oftentimes as Christians. We know a lot about the Bible. We know a lot about the scripture. We may even know theology and know something about Jesus. We have a lot of head knowledge, and that's okay. But it does not take the place of having a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus, whereby you experience the true love of Christ. Amen? It's not just head knowledge. It's about having that relationship with Jesus. I know in my own life, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstances, there have been things that have happened to me and through me, both big and small, that without a shadow of doubt, I knew that it was Christ's love for me to protect me, to heal me, to shut doors for me, to open doors for me, to bless me, to convict me, to mold me, to shape me. It was only the love of Christ. Without a shadow of doubt, nothing that I did, said, or could do. It was the love of Jesus. The latter part of verse 19 says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And I found a scripture in Colossians, a scripture in Colossians 1, 15 through 19. It says this, where Apostle Paul is speaking of the preeminence of Christ, the superiority of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body and the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent, he might be superior. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. As the Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesians, I pray for the church this morning, for the body of believers, that we would be filled with all the fullness of Jesus, in whom God the Father, according to the scripture, was well pleased to dwell in him. Everything about God, the love of Jesus, the power and the presence of God, I pray that you and I will be filled to overflowing with Jesus Christ. Do you know him in this way for yourself? Do you have a godly ambition to be filled to all the fullness of God? As we summarize Paul's prayer here, in Ephesians 3, we learn that he prayed for the Ephesians that Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith, that they would be rooted and grounded in love and have strength to comprehend with all the saints the breadth, the length, and the height, and to be filled with all the fullness of God. And he closes his letter in verses 20 and 21. He says this, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine according to the power that works within us. That power that he's talking about is that dynamite power that is working us. Church, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that you can ask or imagine. No more low living. No more small expectations. No more living outside of the victory and the will of God. No more just living haphazardly. No more saying, well, I'm going to do this and then turn it away and never achieve it in God. No more living outside of the power of God. This is the second day of a new year? Are you resolute? Do you have a made-up mind? Do you have a godly ambition? A determination to achieve the things that God has put before you, namely, to grow in your relationship with Him, to live in the power of God, to walk in the presence of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine, to Him be the glory from generation to generation, forever and ever, in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen, church. Let's stand together. Let's give God praise. Thank you, Lord. We come to our time, the most important time in our service, the invitation. There may be those here or those that are watching online that you may say, well, Pastor Scott, I have a head knowledge of Jesus, but I don't have a personal relationship with Him. Well, today is the day of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. If you want to know Jesus for yourself, the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus stands and He's knocking on the door of your heart. Will you receive Him today as your Lord and your Savior? If you're here, we want to receive you. Our pastors will be down front upstairs in the mezzanine to receive you. Say, Pastor, I want to know Jesus. I want to give my life to Him and accept Him as my Lord and my Savior. Today is your day. We're standing with you. Or you may say, I want to join Prestonwood. I've been coming. I've been visiting. And God is leading me to come to this church. We welcome you as a member and a servant leader in this church. If you want to join, you can come forward. Maybe you want to be baptized. You say, well, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never been baptized in believer's baptism. We receive you. We welcome you to come and be baptized. Maybe you just want to come and pray at the altar. We can do that too. This is God's house, and it's open to you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for those that are here, for those that are worshiping online. Father, we pray that you would move in a powerful way. Lord Jesus, we bind any hindrance, Father, to keeping those who want to come from coming forward. Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God is with us. Have your way. Father, we pray for those who want to receive you today as our Lord and our Savior. Father, you would bring them, Father, they may know you, Jesus, for themselves. Father, we pray for those who want to be baptized, those who want to join the church. Father, bring them forward. Lord Jesus, there is no fear. Perfect love, cast out fear. Lord, this is your house. This is your place. We welcome you. We honor you, Father. We thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to worship together in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text the word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.